For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The essence of God's heart is the heart of giving.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. This is Joshua Hollick. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. Today, Pastor Mark Jobe is going to be preaching a message, part two, of financial peace and the scarcity myth. And it's founded out of Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." There is so much stress and so many problems surrounding the issue of finances and poor stewardship practices. And God's word is a beacon of hope to us in the darkness of the night, especially if you're in a place where your priorities have gotten screwed up and you're struggling through. Today, we're praying that this message would be an encouragement to you. Pastor Mark's going to walk you through some steps to do this, determining your priorities and deciding to get out of debt. He's going to talk to you about disciplining yourself to save and about discovering the joy that there really is in giving and devising a plan that gives you small steps. We're excited for you to take steps in the right direction today. And as you prepare your heart, our prayer for you is that you would hear a message from God's word that would move you further on the journey of faith and that you would experience what God has for you today.
Why do banks just loan people money out? You know, when you're small, you go to a bank and, you know, you put a card in there, they see it push out money and they all say, "Hey, I really like banks. Man, they're some of the most generous people on the face of this earth. They give you money." Well, of course, you know this, but a bank is a business. Banks are businesses. They're not non-for-profits. The reason that they loan you money is that they loan you money because they're making money off your money. And they may give you interest, but they have figured out ways of making more interest off of your interest. And so a bank charges you fees, a bank charges you late charges, checking charges. They charge for the services that they render because they are making money off of you. They loan you money because in the long term, if you're buying a car, buying a house, they make a lot of money off the money that they loan you. The whole concept and principle behind the idea of debt is that oftentimes for the 90s and the first part of this decade, we were basically under this assumption that our economy was a boom economy, that every generation was going to live better than the previous generation, and that all you had to do was put it on credit and that you could pay it off. We got so much on credit, so much in debt, so over the hill in our buying of real estate and cars and other appliances that it came to a halt, and we realized that no longer could we pay for it. So that unleashed a huge catastrophe in this nation, in which the amount of foreclosures, of bankruptcies in 2008 just escalated. Why? Because of a mentality of debt. Now, I want to tell you something. Listen to me well. Look up at me. This is huge. God is anti-debt. Let me say that again. Look up at me. God is anti-debt in every area of our life. The greatest debt that you and I had was we had the debt of sin upon us that no one could pay. And God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and pay a debt that we could not pay because we were debtors. The whole essence of the gospel is the liberation from debt, spiritual debt. But it applies to every other area of our life as well, that God is anti-debt because debt makes people slaves. And God wants us to walk in liberty, not in slavery. You can read all through the Bible and you'll find a lot of verses on how to be set free of debt. Romans chapter 13 verse 8 says, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenues. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love each other. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Now, I understand that there are certain things that obviously you can't buy in cash, primarily your house. Most other things in life you can buy if you save up for them and don't put it on credit. You say, what about our car? Well, I was just at the auto show yesterday. Never seen so many expensive cars in all my life. Saw some cars worth $230,000. Like, whoa. Of course, my 13-year-old Grant, that's the one that he liked right away. Dad, I like this one. It's the McLarens, the Maseratis. And the thing about a car is this. There's something just exciting about a brand new car, isn't it? Set in it, smells new. How many of you know the smell of a new car? It's like, ooh, this smells new. They even sell air fresheners called new car. So you get in your 130,000 beat up rusty car, but the air freshener, man, smells new. But here's the thing about a new car. Listen, I've never had a brand new car in my life. Out of strategy. Oh, there's been times when I could buy a brand new car. But I've chosen not to buy a brand new car. Because what I understand is the moment that you drive that car off the lot, it goes down about $10,000. The moment you drive it off the lot, the moment, if you drove it 3 days and decided to return it, they would say, hey, we'll buy it back for about $10,000, $12,000 cheaper than what we sold it to you. Hold on, what's up with that? Now, I'm not opposed to you having a nice car, and if you have a new car, I don't want you to feel condemned. But, you know, I just had to buy a car recently because I totaled another car. And I was shopping, but let me tell you how I went shopping. I went shopping for a car that would cost, a car that had 10 to 20,000 miles on it already. So it's close to new, but guess what? The price is not a new price car. And if I want the really new smell, I just buy the air freshener. It costs you like $3. $3. So, decide to get out of debt. Oh, I know, here's the thing. You say, well, Pastor, I owe, and I'm talking about credit card debt. I'm not talking about your mortgage payment, which you could spend 20 years paying for. I'm talking about consumer credit card debt that I would encourage you to make it a priority to get out of debt as quick as you can, as fast as you can. And many of you have started that journey out of debt. But it's like climbing out of a hole. Listen, it took you a while to get there. It'll take you a while to get out. So you have to climb out one step at a time, getting out of that credit card debt. But I believe that as you begin to get out of debt, you are beginning to get closer to where God wants you to be. Psalms 37 verse 21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." As long as you're in debt, it's really hard for you to give because you will feel constantly constrained. And I want you to get to a point where you owe no man anything except to love them. And that's what Scripture says. Number three. Are you tracking with me today? Okay. All right. Determine my priorities. Secondly, get out of debt. Thirdly, discipline myself to save. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." How about it? Painful. Discipline always seems painful. This is talking about the discipline that God puts on our life. It's the idea of God is taking us through something difficult to teach us better and bigger lessons. That's what discipline, but it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained by what? Trained by discipline. It takes discipline to get in shape. Most people, when they start out, they don't want to go to the gym. They don't want to run. They don't want to exercise. Why? It's painful. And you have to do it on a regular basis. It takes discipline. Very few people say, great, I get to go sweat at the gym today. Yay. Most people don't. But if you're trained by it, it produces some fruit within your life. And so the discipline to save, I'm going to challenge you, as I said before, that it tells us in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, unless you are faithful in the small matters, you won't be faithful in the large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. I love the concept of a storehouse. The concept of there's something about, listen, if you don't have a savings account here yet, if you don't have a savings account, then I want you to go out tomorrow morning and go to the bank and say, I want to open up a savings account. You say, Pastor, I have almost no money to open up a savings account. I mean, I have very little there. You can open up a savings account with very little there, but I want you to determine every paycheck you will put something in that savings account. It may be $5, $10, $50, but there's something about saying, I'm going to put some aside. You see, I believe that that God can't bless something that does not exist. You got to give God something to bless.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our message called Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth. It's part of our series called In God We Trust. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this entire message, as well as information regarding New Life Community Church and Pastor Mark. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus tonight, and our message is called Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth.
You have a little faith, let God bless that faith. You can't have a savings account and say, well, I have no savings account. Bless it. No, give God something to bless. Start out with that savings account. Start setting something aside that you say, I'm putting something in reserve, and I'm asking you, God, your hand to be upon this. I'm giving you something to bless, and I'm going to rejoice, just like I rejoice when I go out and buy a new purse or a pair of shoes or a new tool, just that thrill that I get of buying something new. I'm going to ask that I get that thrill when I put something aside in savings, because it's indicating, God, I'm following some of your principles. And it's the discipline of setting it aside on a regular basis. Because here's what you're determining. You're determining, unless you have something to save, you are saying, I'm setting myself up for crisis. If I have nothing in savings, I will experience a crisis. And I will get in debt if I have nothing in my savings. Number four, discover the joy of giving. And now that we've talked about saving, cutting back, getting out of debt, you need to also discover the power of giving. God is also, not only does God want you out of debt, but God wants you to be in a place where you have the power to give. It's all throughout Scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus' words are quoted. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So, as you determine your priorities, you decide to get out of debt, you discipline yourself to save, then you discover the joy of generosity. Listen, I believe that God has called us to be a people that releases and gives. I believe that's part of the heart of God. God is a giver. God is a giver. His nature is to give. His nature is to bless. And we are his children, so therefore he has placed us in a position where we also are givers. Not just in our finances, but in every area of life. God has called you to give love, to give mercy, to give compassion, to give help, to give encouragement. Listen, we are givers. Part of what fills us is as we release, God increases our capacity to release more. I'm convinced of that. That unless I give, I will never have the capacity to release more. That unless I practice what it means to give encouragement, then I will never be encouraged to give more. Unless I learn to love, then I will never have a greater capacity to love. If I never show compassion, then God will never enlarge my heart with greater compassion. I believe that as we release, that God increases our capacity to release even more. And I believe it's the same way with our finances. That we need to begin to discover the power and the joy of what it means to give. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we'll talk about it in the future. But John chapter 3 verse, John says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. The essence of God's heart is the heart of giving. In fact, I believe that God wants you to get to a point where you get as much of a charge out of giving than out of receiving. You know the thrill that you get when you get an unexpected bonus? You open it up and you're like, wow. Ooh, this is great. Or a gift on your birthday that you really didn't expect and it's really what you wanted and you tear open the gift and there it is. You're like, whoa, can't wait to use it. You know that little charge you get? I believe that we get to a point, if we're flowing in God, that the kind of charge that we get in receiving, that we begin to get it in releasing. And as we begin to give and see the blessing of that effect on other people's lives, that it gives us a charge, a spiritual charge, a joy, an energy. That's why God says he loves a cheerful giver. Because when we are operating in the values of God, then we start loving the act of giving. And so I believe that God wants us to grow in that area so that we begin to be generous giving people. And I close with this. Number 5, giving you some simple principles. Devise a plan with small steps. Are you ready? I'm going to give you some practical steps here. Here's a few ways. You have to start somewhere. It's like people that want to get in shape. They go to a gym, they see all these people that are buffed and have the outfits and the protein drinks and the cool bags, and you walk in overweight. With your sloppy little sweatshirt, you look at the machine and say, Boy, that looks like a torture machine. I don't even know. Where do I sit and how do I use it? And so you just figure, it's too complicated. I'll never be like that over there. And so you just give up. Because you just feel like it's too out of your reach. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But what if you start small, with small steps? And I believe that sometimes it's that way in our spiritual life and our finances. When we talk about saving and giving and being out of debt, you look at it and you think it's so insurmountable, but I think like with everything in life, it starts with the next step forward, with one step in front of the other. Every journey starts with a small step. So I want to challenge you to think through this. If you're taking notes, I want you to pull out your pen right now, and I want you to write down what are the 3 small steps that God is asking you to take when it comes to finances. Small steps. If it's too big, you're not going to do it. But what are the 3 small steps that God is asking you to take? Let me give you a couple ideas here. I believe you make a decision that I'm going to take some steps. The fact that you're here today on Sunday morning in this church, I'm going to encourage you to be here next week and the following week as well. It's a small decision. I'm going to grow and learn in this area. I think decide to get out of debt. You can make that decision today, but it will take a small step, like I decide to cut back on one thing this week. Maybe it's eating out for lunch, and I pack a lunch, and I save $8, and those dollars go into savings or go into debt reduction, but it's a small step that I'm taking. I start just with small things in my life. The 10-10-80, open up a savings account if you don't have one. Start putting $5, $10 away into savings if you haven't done so yet. When it comes to giving, some people are super intimidated when we talk about the tithe. And I would say, maybe you're not there yet. But what about increasing 1% or 2%? And just say, okay, God, I'm going to test you on this because this is a huge step for me. But I'm going to try to give 1-2% of my income. I'm going to be faithful and consistent with it. And I'm going to crank it up one step of obedience, Lord, as I start growing in this area. Or maybe I'm going to set aside $50 or $10 or $20 every paycheck into a blessing fund. And at the end of the month or the end of 2 months, I'm going to find someone to bless with this money, someone that's in need. I'm going to sit down with our kids and say, hey, what do you want to do with it this month to bless someone? Imagine if we had hundreds of families throughout New Life that started a blessing fund. And every month or every 2 months, they just helped someone out that was in need. They bought dinner for a homeless person, or they helped pay away for some missions trip, or they gave a scholarship to a women's encounter retreat to a single mother. Imagine the amount of blessing that could flow out if everybody decided we're just going to start a blessing fund and then live on 80. Start by making a budget. There's plenty of plans out there. You can Google and find how to make a budget. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not get discouraged and give up. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. I prayed over you last week. I'm going to pray over you again. Oh, I really want you to walk in freedom. I want this church to be a blessing. The very principles that I've described to you in this talk to you today about, I've determined a long time ago to live by these principles and to try to run this church by these principles as well. And sometime I'll have to tell you a little bit more about our journey and our story. You may walk down some of the places of this church and see that, hey, how come they're not quite finished yet? Because we don't want to get in debt. But yet we're still given to missions. We might not have our children's hallway finished, but we gave tens of thousands of dollars to projects and missions. Why? We're living by some of these principles. We will be givers. We will flow in generosity. We will put a priority in the things of God. And so I want to pray for you. Last week I did this. Normally we take up the offering at the beginning, but we're taking it up at the end on purpose. I'm doing it on purpose. Why? Because I believe some of these principles need to be embedded in our heart, in our mind, and our soul. Some of these principles of joy, of giving. And I believe that as we get a grip on our finances, then it starts to get a grip on many other areas of our life.
Tonight we finished out the message, financial peace and the scarcity myth. And we invite you to tune in tomorrow as we get into part three, the power of generous living, which is part of our series called In God We Trust. As I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download it for free with our Straight Talk app, which is available at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. There you'll find information about Pastor Mark, New Life Community Church's ministries, and there's also a Bible reading app to help you stay in the Word this year. If you'd prefer to have a CD copy of the message, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 for more information. Well, that's it for me, and on behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, and our Straight Talk team, thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.